Hey everyone, welcome in. Thanks for being with us. You know, we have a special guest for you today and some important information for you to be aware of and begin to understand. Our guest is Idaho State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth. She joins us today by phone, I think from Boise, or maybe she's traveling. We'll find out. Julie Ellsworth, I want to say to you right now, thank you for being with us today. Thank you. Welcome in. I said you were in Boise. Is that correct, or are you traveling today?
I'm in the Capitol building sitting at my desk. Got home first to call in.
Oh, wonderful. Well, appreciate that very much. Appreciate your time. Look forward to chatting with you. So let's get one of our commercial breaks out of the way. First up, keep it right here, everyone. My name is Barbara. We have a lot to cover today, and we will be right back.
Lane checkout at the Sandpoint Super One Foods. There's 6 new fast lane checkout stations, and they are super convenient and super easy to use. Check it out today. And if you're looking for a great job, Super One Foods is hiring with a variety of positions available, with some of them starting at $18 an hour. Apply today at superonefoods.net or simply stop by the store and ask for Steve or Lynn. Super One Foods in Sandpoint.
Do you know the signs of dementia and Alzheimer's disease? It's more than memory loss. It could be trouble solving problems, completing routine tasks, or even pulling away from social activities. Now is the time to start having brain health conversations with your healthcare provider. Learn more by visiting healthandwelfare.idaho.gov/brainhealth. Idahoans improving brain health and reducing the risk of Alzheimer's disease and dementias together. This is a message from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare.
Summer is here and Harrison is your local getaway. Come midweek for a slow-paced atmosphere to unwind and relax. Just take Highway 97 along Lake Coeur d'Alene's beautiful scenic byway. At Harrison, the Trail of the Coeur d'Alene is waiting for a pleasant ride up the Chain Lakes or along the lake to Hebron State Park. Stay a few days for a stress-free visit? Go online to harrisonidaho.org or visit us on Facebook for more information and lodging options. Visit Scenic Idaho, sponsored by the Harrison Chamber of Commerce and the Lakeview Lodge.
With hot, dry summers occurring more frequently, our forests are in more danger than ever. And whether you've lived here a long time or are new to the area, you will be affected, especially if you own forest land. Droughts weaken a forest's ability to fight off disease or invasive bugs. If you own 10 or more acres of forest land, Idaho Forest Group has a suggestion. We can schedule a free, no-obligation tour of your property and help design a plan to minimize the damage to your timber inventory from bugs or disease. Our goal is to make and maintain the health and value of your forest land investment. And if selective thinning is suggested, you may choose to sell any merchantable trees that are removed. Bugs and disease can take a toll on your timberland, so a visit by an Idaho Forest Group forester can help minimize your losses and maintain a healthy forest for years to come. To schedule a free site assessment, visit ifg.com.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right, everyone, here we are. Come on back in. Let's say hello and welcome again to Idaho State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Barbara, for inviting me.
All right. Well, you know already that my main focus today is the concern around ESG ratings and policies, and I want our listeners to understand this. So let's begin with a definition of ESG, please.
ESG is kind of a relatively new term, although some of the components of ESG have been in practice for years. The E in the ESG stands for, when you're rating a state for their creditworthiness, the E stands for environmental factors like a company's carbon emissions, air, water pollution, and green energy initiatives. So they would look at the rating of a state based on your green energy initiative. The S would be social factors. How is this company or state treating people through their policies or things like employee gender diversity, customer satisfaction, sexual harassment policies? So that goes into your credit rating. And also the G component looks at the governance structure of a company. And for us, it would be the state. Are you run with diversity on your board? What political contribution are you making in your governance structure? What is your executive pay, and who and what do you lobby for? Those are the factors that ESG investments look at.
So who came up with this rating that they would actually be looking at what, say, the state of Idaho with regard to creditworthiness or investment policy, that you're looking at what you may be lobbying for as a state? Who came up with this rating?
I think you hit the nail on the head right there, trying to determine who is coming up with this rating, and what the rating is very subjective. You know, what does it really mean? This is why we're pushing back on this component of the credit rating. As all of our state leaders on the congressional level, the governor, the leadership in the House and Senate, we're all pushing back on these arbitrary, subjective components. So who came up with it, I cannot really answer. I do know that it is showing itself expressly through the Treasury. Janet Yellen has written that these policies are to be pushed through the Treasury, and we're seeing it through SEC rulemaking, which we are following closely, monitoring, pushing back every time we see another component of it coming through. And then we have these rating agencies that are now taking it. Now, let me point out, Barbara.
Yeah.
When you are trying to rating creditworthiness, you're trying to quantify risk. You know, if somebody's going to borrow, what is the risk factor that the state of Idaho has? So you would always look at things in environment. You know, that's all baked into the credit rating process. We get that these ratings have been baked into what you look at over time. However, what Standard & Poor's is doing, what we're pushing back on, is they want to take these three components, pluck them out of a credit rating, which is very complicated, and I prepared the documents for it. You know, very complicated, very scrutinized. They want to pluck out just these components, put it on the side of our credit rating, and call it a little report card on ESG. I do not see anywhere that that's going to benefit my constituents in the state of Idaho, and actually I find it very harmful.
And it doesn't have anything really to do with your credit worthiness in terms of the risk factor of what kind of ratings you have for your investment. Like you said, they've got this SEG off on the side. You know, what does that have to do with how well you are managing our funds for the benefit of the people of Idaho?
Well, and to that point, you know, what if I'm going to make a side street credit rating report card, how about we talk about the state of Idaho having weathered recessions, having a state balanced budget by our constitution. We manage our debt loads. We are paying off our debt load early. How about we pluck those components, which are part of a credit rating, and spotlight them in a report card on the side? You know, let me cherry pick which ones I want on this side report card.
Yes.
I do not push back on that. You must be able to ascertain the risk involved. And if you have certain environmental factors, that has always been baked in to a credit report. I do think it's wrong to heighten these issues. You know, and I will continue to push back on it.
So you've mentioned the United States Treasury, SEC, Standard & Poor's. So these are the ones they're going out and they're making the rating. I mean, who is going around the United States to state state treasurers or big businesses and rating them and doing this SEG rating?
The ESG rating.
ESG, yeah.
Standard & Poor's, the thing that got us all going on this recently was Standard & Poor's push as early as March to create this self-standing environmental social governance report card. Standard & Poor's is a rating agency that has been, they were created as a function of the federal government with a purpose to create, you know, to provide credit ratings for different states. So instead of trying to do it in the political lane of furthering this Green New Deal idea, they're putting it into a fiscal lane, my lane, and Standard & Poor's is helping further. We're going to push that green energy concept, you know, and we'll just do it on the side here. It's an undemocratic process, you know, to do it through the financial lane. And so they've taken what should be in the political lane up there in Congress and put it in the financial lane, starting to change their rules, change their function of how they're going to rate us. And the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, they regulate a self-regulated industry, and they are empowered by Congress to create rules for the self-regulation. Well, those rules are starting to facilitate this Green New Deal type industry. And, you know, so who is doing it? It's truly an unelected bureaucrat, you know, that's getting it through some rulemaking, which will have a huge impact on Idahoans. And Barbara, if you don't mind, just recently, last couple of weeks ago, Senator Risch and Senator Crapo pushed back against the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission proposed rule, because all of a sudden the Securities and Exchange Commission is supposed to rate financial institutions, and they put in their rulemaking, well, we're going to have everything on ESG about your financial institution and anything in your downstream. And you know who that hit? Farmers, ranchers, and the agriculture producers. So now we have Senator Crapo and Risch recently pushing back on that. You know, this is what, there is nothing good that can happen from pushing this idea, which should be in Congress, through our financial institutions.
Yeah, I think that is really well said, Julie. May I call you Julie?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. I think that is really well said, because it's taking clearly a subjective, arbitrary political positions and moving them over here into an analysis of the fiscal worthiness of a state or a corporation or a business. And that just doesn't have anything to do with anything, especially when their agenda, if you look at the detail, I'm really concerned that they're concerned about what a business may lobby for, what comprises board members. You know, State Representative Heather Scott was on the radio with me a couple of weeks ago. I asked her about ESG, and she gave this example, and I'd like your opinion on it. She said it's like McDonald's, which is a woke corporation, coming into Idaho, big potato buyer, and going to one of our big potato agricultural industry and saying, you know, your ESG rating is too low. You're not using enough solar, way too much diesel. You don't have enough diversity or transgender diversity on your board of directors or in your employees. And we don't like your political contributions. So you have a low rating. If you want us, McDonald's, to keep buying your potatoes, you need to get your rating up.
Well, you know, Barbara, I'm handling public funds and the management of public money, but I don't have to come up with ideas of how it could happen. Let me just tell you one that did happen and is currently unresolved. In Utah, a utility, now Utah, how far away is that from us? We can specifically point to this, and I have not yet had a remedy for this situation. In Utah, a utility company which delivers power to approximately 25,000 customers, they recently learned its longtime auto insurer wouldn't renew its coverage for its fleet. And the utility owns a coal-burning power plant and has stakes in two others. And so when they tried to figure out why they weren't getting, their insurance was cut off, the insurance company is phasing out business with companies that derive profits from coal. There you have it. Long-time business relationship, all of a sudden you can no longer insure your fleet of cars, which has nothing to do with the coal plant. And that is happening now. That's not just a hypothesis.
Exactly. That has happened. I Googled this situation, and correct me if I'm misspeaking, but the insurance company was identified as the humongous insurance conglomerate AIG. And is that correct, or do you know?
I do not know the exact one. I've had other names mentioned, but yeah, I could ask the state treasurer from Utah which one it was.
Okay. The AIG has got so many different companies, and I mean, they're just it's like a web. AIG is like the overall umbrella, but the individual insurance company that was actually dealing with the Utah Utility Company could have a different name. The other thing that I'll just throw in here, because it was a part of the research I did, is AIG, or some portion of AIG, received $182 billion in bailout in 2008. I mean,
it is interesting to follow the money. Which is, as I say that as a state treasurer, very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Too big to fail, I think, was the word that kept going out in 2008. $182 billion. Let me see. There's another one here. In November 2021, West Virginia Treasurer Riley Moore led a coalition of officials. Tell us a little bit about what that response in, because this is all across the country.
Yes. This is how this whole thing started for me. About a year and a half ago, Riley Moore from West Virginia called and he said, Julie, they're shutting my state down. They will not provide financing for our industries because they're no longer, in good industries for some standard that came into place. Well, first of all, they're legal. And second of all, could you please tell us what standard you put into place? But he literally was being shut down. And so it was, I believe, not this previous February, but February of 2021, that I signed a letter with him. And this is where this whole thing started, with state treasurers pushing back, saying, hey, we're looking for people to do business with. We are the treasuries. We got 13 treasurers at that time to join together and say, we're looking for a place to do business. And we're just concerned you're picking winners and losers based on some criteria that we don't even know. And these are legal businesses. Okay, so then we sign that letter. We get together with some conservative mind treasurers in July, and we decided, this is really, it's directed at us. It's directed at our industries where we see that this is dangerous, and we're seeing express comments from Janet Yellen to take things to the Treasury. So we joined together. Currently, we have 27 financial officers, state financial officers, that have joined together as conservative financial officers. Now, 27, that's more than 25. we've got half the nation now. So I manage $12 billion as the state of Idaho. I'm just, the little state of Idaho. My little state of Utah, I was with the treasurer there in Utah yesterday, and he said he manages about $31 billion. But you start putting 27 of us together, and we're like the Avengers. We've got some, we're managers of about $3
trillion. Wow.
Together. And then you start to send a message. There's something to be noticed here. We're just looking for fair banking policies that are not coming through an undemocratic way. And thus starts our journey together as state treasurers pushing against this. And to date, you can go to my state treasurer's website in Idaho. It's sto.idaho.gov. And on that website, I have a red banner at the top where you can click on it and see all, takes you to all of the SEC things we're tracking, we're paying attention, we're joining together, pushing back on all these things. Last week, I think we had to push back against an FDIC rule. The significance of pushing back together and joining together as treasurers like that is that we are creating a record. We are creating when we have more strength politically, congressionally, We know what we need to unwind, and we also know that if this reaches a litigation process, we are prepared. You know, in 2008, Standard & Poor's settled a $1 billion settlement claim for $1.375 billion because they created standards that were had conflicts of interest in them. That was right during the economic downturn, and Idaho was part of that settlement and received settlement monies for it. I believe that it is in my lane to sit here and push back against this every turn, and I believe that it's not in the financial industry's lane to be pushing what should be in Congress.
You know, I am so impressed with, well, of course, you're informed and the information you're sharing with us. But what I'm hearing, Julie, is your commitment, your backbone, your boldness to not step back from this or be concerned about political correctness, but to really keep, as you keep saying, keep it clear what your lane is, and your lane is the financial health of Idaho, the financial stewardship of what you are given and your team authority over, and to not let other side issues that are not financial and not for the good of Idaho financially.
I have business that men and women in Idaho that will need financing. It does not take many leaps and bounds to see that my farmers, my ranchers, people manufacturing ammunition, anything in the gun business, you know, it doesn't take a lot to see how they will be, you know, and if I don't engage, could just not receive financing, you know, in a year or two, particularly if you get it through the SEC rulemaking, which regulates the industry. Well, if you put it in the rules for the regulation, then it becomes essentially law, and
yes,
it hurts my constituency very much so.
Yes. All right, we are going to take a quick break right now. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Idaho State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth.
At the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Pace Kirby Insurance and Real Estate has been serving Boundary County for over 100 years, and they've built their reputation through good service, honesty, and stability. Come to Pace Kirby in downtown Bonner's Ferry for insurance of all kinds, life insurance, supplemental health, and also Safeco Auto Insurance. Pace Kirby also sells real estate, including acreage, both large and small, farms, timberland, and creek and river property. Call 267-3123. That's 267-3123 for Pace Kirby, when experience counts.
Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Sloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet.
Attention off-road and overland enthusiasts. Selkirk Off-Road is ready to help you get your vehicle ready for overland adventures. Selkirk Off-Road works with you to make your custom overland build a reality by offering great overland solutions like truck campers, solar, roof tents, air systems, bumpers, lift kits, and more. Selkirk Off-Road is also the authorized Alucab dealer for the entire Inland Northwest. Located at 89 McGee Road, just off Highway 200 in beautiful Sandpoint, Idaho. Visit online at SelkirkOffroad.com.
Every day, Mark fights retinitis pigmentosa, a blinding retinal disease. But even while his vision is taken, his family gives him hope. Because whether he's helping run their business or enjoying time at home with his wife and sons, Mark knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding diseases, providing real hope to those fighting vision loss. and our nationwide community of local chapters provides networking and support for people with vision loss, as well as their loved ones. Because the best way to fight against blinding diseases is to fight together. And for Mark, winning the fight against vision loss means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more about how you can help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Everybody, welcome in. We are talking with Idaho State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth, and we are really drilling down into this issue of ESG, environment, social, and government ratings that are getting out of their lane, as our Idaho State Treasurer is saying. Julie, welcome back in. Thank you again for being with us. This ESG rating can be used against government entities like that you've been describing, companies, industries like here in Idaho, any industry, timber, agriculture, any company, and potentially against an individual. I think that what I'd like to understand first for your area, what leverage do they have? How can they hurt you or come against you if you don't line up with the agenda they want you to?
I think from my perspective right now, I am pushing back at this level, as a state level, joining with other state treasurers to prevent it from getting down to such a granular grassroots level where it impacts people. So it has potential to impact people in a treacherous way. I will speak to where I see...
I think we lost Julie. I think somehow we have lost her. Let me just, while she, I'm sure, is going to be calling us back, let me just recap for you who we're talking with and what we're talking about. This is a topic that I'm not going to let go, and it's a topic that we will be repeating down the road in the weeks and months to come, because I don't think this is going to go away. I am just... astounded at how she has not used this word, but I'm going to use the word evil, subjective, and arbitrary. Julie, are you there now?
I am here again. Right. We have a sensitive phone system today. Thank you for your patience.
Absolutely. I was just going to go I'm happy to have you back, so I'm not like repeating. So you're the first line of defense is what I'm hearing. How could they hurt you, though, if you were not pushing back or you're unsuccessful with these other 27 state financial officers? How can they hurt you?
Well, this is what's happening right now that does impact people, but it impacts people in such a silent way that you don't realize, you know, again, if you take this through Congress and you debate it openly, then I'll throw my darts and my arrows. But what's happening in a very subversive way is you have stakeholder versus shareholder capitalism going on. Anybody that has retirement accounts, this is why I'm pushing back against this too, that there tends to be three companies that manage most of the retirement funds in the industry. As a matter of fact, it's BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. They are managers of investment funds. This becomes significant because they manage over $20 billion. And that is the GDP of the U.S. yearly. So these three companies are gaining power through just the fact that they've been retained to manage funds. And we see in the state of Idaho that, you know, they're pushing the leverage that they have with their aggregate funds to further ESG components. An example is you are investing your money in your retirement system, but if it's managed by one of the three that I mentioned, they, instead of doing a fiduciary management of it where you're looking for the best return on that dollar for the people that you represent, they've injected stakeholders into this this process. Now, let me just tell you that the term stakeholder is essentially a new name for an activist. Why does an activist get a say in what my shareholding, my money, is going to be invested in? So these three investors are trying to manage these pools of money, and they have the leverage because, again, it's the GDP of the U.S. It's all been aggregated with them. They're using our voice, the mom and pop in Idaho, their dollars in the retirement funds, and they're pushing ESG principles to the point where they even had Texas oil and gas firms. They stacked their board of trustees in the vote because they were able to, during a proxy vote situation, they stacked the board of trustees who then are voting to no longer do exploration of oil and gas in Texas. Hello. And to put that exploration into China. This is legitimately happening. And it is because of an aggregate of power that these three companies and managing funds take. But my point to the listeners on this call is that it's the people's money. You are the shareholders that are being managed in these retirement funds, particularly in state retirement funds throughout the nation, not necessarily Idaho. Idaho's state retirement fund is an issue under the governor, and he could speak more specifically to it. But they have aggregated the voices of, think of all the people that have retirement funds, mm-hmm. and they are furthering the dictates of ESG. And talk about using people's money against you. They have taken shareholders and put on top of it stakeholders. You know, you'll hear this. You'll hear this. They'll say, well, it's just stakeholder capitalism. What's wrong with that? Well, stakeholders have never been part of a shareholder. You know, since when do I have to have activists dictate what my money's going to do? You are to dictate it for me alone. The state of Idaho, the House and the Senate passed and the governor signed Senate Bill 1405, which addresses this issue. With respect to state funds, you cannot supersede our Prudent Investor Act, which always goes to money is about the rate of return and pleasing your shareholders. You cannot superimpose a value like ESG on top of that. Now, you can invest in an ESG product if it shows that it is beneficial to your shareholders, and that's all about a rate of return. Ironically, oil and gas has the best rate of return now. Most ESG funds have none of it in it because they've been working to shut it down. But essentially, our Senate bill that goes into effect July 1st will say you cannot supersede this with an ESG component. Now, that puts on notice every management company that manages any funds and investments all throughout the state of Idaho in government, local government as well, that you don't get to override. You do not get to override the Prudent Investor Act. It is rate of return. In conjunction with that, another thing that these three companies have done is they've scooped up all the proxy vote power that you have when you purchase funds. And because they're managing them, they just scoop it all up, and that's your voice. And they vote those proxy votes. That's how they stack the board of directors in Texas.
That's how they take control.
Control. Well, the Senate Bill 1405 said, actually, those proxy votes belong to us. Now, BlackRock has been getting pushback on this, and they've said, well, we would return the proxy votes to states if they ask for them. Well, Senate Bill 1405, my impression is, hello, those were never your proxy votes. They are ours, and we will be voting them. For you to say, well, we'll return them to you, is kind of a shift in what power is. That's the voice of the people involved in those funds. So Senate Bill 1405 does expressly say we will exercise our proxy votes. Now, in conjunction with that, July 1st, we are working on a strategy. I think we're going to learn a lot through our different investment funds of how the proxy votes have been voted. It might be, you know, a diagnostic year as we see that thing implemented. But I maintain, Barbara, if you ask, if you start pushing back on these things, you will have comments from the big companies like BlackRock saying, well, we'll give you your proxy votes back if you ask for them. Well, we maintain that they're ours. And if we do that, if another state does it, Florida has done it, if another state, I know other legislators are gearing up to put that in, they'll learn from us as we diagnose what has been happening. That is impacting individuals as we speak, because how do we know if your fund has been managed in a fiduciary manner to benefit the shareholder versus the stakeholder who does not belong in the management of your fund?
Oh my goodness, you have given us so much to think about. I just want to go back over, I mean, it would seem to me a basic tenet that the stewards of a retirement fund, the people that manage and invest retirement monies, example, PERSI here in Idaho, I mean, the issue that the overriding criteria would be the fiduciary interest of the shareholder, the rate of return, that it's a safe investment, that it is a safe money return, a financial return, not some sort of a political activism issue. I mean, that just seems so basic.
But I'm not saying that it is a political activism. They have seen it in other states, and by this legislation that our good legislators passed that goes into effect, we will be able to run through and see.
Exactly.
You know, it's third-party management companies, too, and it gives a format for which to do contracts when you have third party. A lot of management is done through contracts.
Yeah.
But now we will expressly say, these are the values of our state. You don't get to override them. And guess where the values of the state are delineated? They are delineated by the legislature, mm-hmm. the people that you elect to be your voice. And so they will be in code. They will be in a resolution. They will be in a, you know, some type of proper state function.
You know, yes, I'm proud of Idaho for Senate Bill 1405 that to uphold prudent investment standards, rate of return, and that we will not be at least, you know, in as much danger or in danger of being taken over. Who oversees the investments of PERSI?
The governor is over PERSI and the way that their governance board, he appoints members to it, and so he would be able to speak specifically to that. My office is over the Millennium Fund, which is an endowment fund. It is a true endowment, so they're managing funds working for a rate of return. I have different funds in my office as well. I have the I have the local government investment pool, which is a short-term pool for local government monies, and it allows them to have a one-day turnaround of pulling in and out money. There's about 15 million, $115 million, lots of money is floating around right now because of ARPA dollars.
Okay.
I have long-term funds. There's various funds in state government, but PERSI, the retirement fund, is under the governor.
Okay.
And they are working closely with us on as 1405 goes into effect, and the governor did sign the bill.
Yes, that's very reassuring. Well, we have one more break. We're going to take that right now. I hate to do it. I just am getting so much information. We're going to do it. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Jam out this summer at Northern Quest with the Avett Brothers. Don't miss a night of unique bluegrass and rock and roll vibes at the BECU Live Outdoor Venue. The Avett Brothers with special guest Calder Allen. July 15th at the BECU Live Outdoor Venue. Get seats now at northernquest.com.
This summer, Northern Quest cordially invites you to get out and stay out. It's easy thanks to our biggest Pepsi Outdoor Summer Concert lineup ever. 20 top-tier acts are coming to the 5,000-seat BECU Live stage. Plus, we're throwing a one-hour after-party with extended food and drink service under the stars. So get out and stay out with our largest concert lineup ever. Tickets and details at northernquest.com/OSC. Northern Quest, yes, the best.
And now, the marvelous, world-famous magician, Marvin the Magnificent.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may have seen me sawing a person in half, or stood by while I was shot from a cannon. But you have yet to see me turn this card into huge amounts of cash. That's because it isn't a trick. It's the Royal Card Scratch Games from the Idaho Lottery. Pick a card, any card, for the chance at unbelievable prizes up to $300,000. Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings. Must be 18 or older. Play wise.
Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Hey, you got something on your face?
Right here?
No, over.
Right.
No, oh.
Yep.
Ah, forget it.
Cool, thanks.
Let's talk more savings. Neil here from Auto Credit Sales, and I want to go camping, but I can't until I sell S'more Cars. So this month, my sticky situation could be your sweet solution. You could save up to $2,000 on a nicer, newer car. The S'more you spend, the S'more you save. So if the flame's gone in your old ride, this deal's on fire. You could save up to $2,000 on a car that makes you melt. But wait, there's S'more where that came from. Been burned by credit before? My For the People credit approval process is sweeter than chocolate. Trek on down to Auto Credit Sales today, and you could save up to $2,000 on a nicer, newer car based on the price of the car you pick. But hurry, this deal's done once I'm out of the woods. I'm Neil, your dealer for the people. See all the cars at autocreditsales.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Negative equity may be your finance vehicle purchase price determines actual discount offer. Absolutely expires June 30th, 2022.
Oh, I bent my tongue.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate it, and I really appreciate the Idaho State Treasurer, Julie Ellsworth, joining us today with so much good information. Well,
thanks,
you're very welcome. Thank you. I already have you on my call her back and have her on again list. You know,
people don't invite me to parties, but boy, I should talk about this.
Well, you know, when you're good, you pay the price, you know. I do want to take some time today because I'm not sure everyone does understand. You are talking about it a little bit, but the duties of the state treasurer, I love the short form is your accounts receivable.
Absolutely.
And the controller is the accounts payable. But you have a lot of oversight over investment, like you were mentioning idle state monies. You know, they get invested. So this is really a big issue for you, the ESG. Go ahead.
The state treasurer, a lot of people say, why do you have a treasurer? Why do you have a controller? We are the check and balance in government. And this is why you have the two functions. Very important. The person receiving all the money and managing all the money should not be the person spending the money. So I receive all the money. And because of that, Barbara, there's times that, you know, you're going to spend the money, but it doesn't match up with when the money comes in. And so during that time, my office invests it to see, to, you know, good fiscal policies would require you to get as much return on that money while it's not in use. That would be short-term investments that typically are treasury bonds. And so I have several different pools. We have the local government investment pool, any money in state government that is not being spent at that time but will be spent in a month or so. It's swept off at the end of every day, and that money is invested either in overnight funds or, you know, I essentially have an investment division, and they have policies that are directed by the Treasurer's Investment Advisory Board made up of experts from across the state that give me, you know, the correct policies. We vote on what type of investment policies. Within the Treasury, money is to be handled in the policy hierarchy is it must be invested for safety, and then liquidity, because this is like our checkbook. We got to spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third component we look at is rate of return, because, of course, when I see big, huge hiccups in the market, I know that we're in safety investments. We do have a pool. We have other pools that are invested for longer term that can ride out downfalls, like diversified bond fund, et cetera, different places like that. But yeah, if the money's here, if I've got $12 billion for the state of Idaho, it's not just going to sit. The treasurer's office is about leveraging, you know, bringing elevation to everything in state government, including local governments. Some often have outstanding bonds that they want to refinance, but what kind of return will you get on that if you're standing by yourself? So I have a program that Idaho Bond Bank Authority that actually will bundle several little bonds together, sell them on the market so that they can make a greater rate of return. And so local units of government can experience a savings. You know, I think $1.6 million for the city of Jerome is a big savings on their debt. You know, so we help them manage that too. Our credit rating for the state matters because it goes down to local units of government. Everything spins off of it from there. And so I fight for the credit rating as well.
Well, that is just all good news. You are definitely a guardian for us, and we all appreciate the work that you and your team do. You know, the impact of Senate Bill 1405 that you were talking about before, clearly you and your team must work closely each year. I mean, right now, building up to the legislative session, do you have anything on the docket that you would like to see the House and the Senate and then on to the governor pass in the upcoming legislative session?
You know, Barbara, I have different ideas, but in terms of this issue on ESG, I think we're going to learn a lot as we try to implement 1405. I do go around the state. Even just last night, I was with legislators from you know, the Magic Valley area, you know, just working with them, understanding how, having those conversations so that if the legislative session, when it comes around, if we need to make changes in certain ways that we're protecting ourselves in the state of Idaho, we'll be prepared. So in terms of a specific piece of legislation, what you get from me is just work every day with policymakers to make sure we're all up to speed. And I think, you know, that matters because I do not want my ammunition manufacturers to not get funding in 3 months from now. You know, I want to be up to speed. That happened to the treasurer in Louisiana.
Mm.
So I know that these kind of things can happen. We're up to speed on it and we're pushing back and we're joining together. Tell your listeners, I'll just tell you now, that STO, State Treasurer's Office, sto.idaho.gov, is really where you can stay up to every, you know, anytime we have another pushback, a need to document all this that's going on. I have just dedicated that page to this to help my constituents.
Julie Ellsworth, State Treasurer for Idaho, it has been excellent talking with you. I appreciate your time and your clarity so much. And by the way, before I say goodbye, your staff, both Bibiana and Mary Sue, are amazing.
And you know,
they were great. So thank you for that so much.
I appreciate that, Barbara. I do absolutely stand on their shoulders. Thank you.
All right. Well, if you're ever in Sandpoint, you know who I want you to call. I do.
And I have been in Sandpoint. I typically go to Sandpoint up in the whole area.
Okay.
Twice a year.
All right. Great. Well, we need to touch base and have you right here in the studio with us. Thank you again.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, bye-bye. Come on back next week, everyone, Tuesday, July 5th, because Jim Payne is my guest, a former professor at Yale, Johns Hopkins, and Texas A&M. He resides here in Sandpoint. He's the author of over 21 books, and he kayaks all over, and he kayaks solo. He is interesting and amazing, and we're going to talk about his most recent trip to Holland. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care, and may God greatly bless you.